Hello and welcome. We're going to now do our case video. Tonight's case is a relatively recent case. It comes from 2015. And considering that contract law goes all the way back to Roman law and the English common law, that's relatively recent. It's a case which rather clearly defines what a contract is. And that's why we picked it as kind of being illustrative. We like to pick cases that are New York cases or Supreme Court of the United States cases that are foundational in the law, but this one explains really what a contract is. It's a case that arises out of an employment dispute back in 2012. What happened was you have two parties, as you often do in a contract. A man by the name of Andrew Colchins, who was a New York City-based investment banker. And infrequently, because New York State is what we call an employment at will state, most people who have employment do not have an official employment contract. But when you come to high-end individuals who have some kind of great specialty, like a football player or a great physician, someone of that nature, sometimes they do, because they the power of their talent and their experience is able to allow them to command a contract from whoever their employer is. And this individual, Andrew Colchins, was a specialist in investment banking in the area of renewable energy. And he worked for an investment house known as Evolution Markets in New York City. And he had worked for them for a number of years. He started in 2005. And he was a young man. And in 2010, he was 35. So in 2015, he would have been 40. So he was not an old guy. He had really made an awful lot of money for his clients in Evolution Markets, which was this investment house, liked what he was doing for them. And his clients liked him quite a bit. And he had that specialty in renewable energy, which was a very attractive area for investment in this day and age. And as a result of that, he commanded a employment contract from his employer. Well, that employment contract that he had that went from 2009 to 2012 was expiring. So he entered into negotiations with the employer over what the contract should be going forward from its conclusion from 2012 onward. Well, the case then happened was, did they have, through those negotiations, an agreement, a contract, a meeting of the minds? And this case illustrates what you really need to have that. And the question the court determined was whether the parties' emails, because they communicated back and forth electronically, whether the parties' emails and other correspondence, because they also had letters, can be viewed as constituting a binding offer and an acceptance. Remember, you need an offer and you need an acceptance in order to have a contract. And the question is, you have to have that contractual intent in order to qualify for that, to be able to become a contract. And the question was, did those emails and correspondence constitute a offer and acceptance under the law that's binding in intent to become a contract, to become that new employment contract extension that they were looking for? It didn't have a formal contract, because that would come later, presumably, that would come down and be written and signed. But the question was did the emails and the correspondence that went back between the two parties, constitute a valid offer and acceptance whereby they would create a contract. Well, the court found that the documentary evidence, that means the emails and the correspondence, the letters that went back and forth, did not utterly refute the plaintiff's factual allegations. That means he couldn't prove it, that the parties reached an agreement on the material terms of the contract renewal. The court found that, guess what? There was a contract. Evolution Markets said there wasn't. Colchin said there was. The Supreme Court dismissed the action the Supreme Court denied defendant's motion to dismiss, saying that he had a cause of action. So he sued in the Supreme Court. The Evolution Markets tried to get them to dismiss it, saying, you don't have a case, look at it. It didn't meet the legal requirements of a contract. And they refused to dismiss it. Well, Evolution Markets appealed. They appealed to the Appellate Division, which is in Manhattan in the First Department. And what did the court hold in this action? It said, when viewed in the light of contract law principles, those principles going all the way back in the common law to the days of England that we carried over here in the United States, that an offer is a manifestation of the willingness to enter into a bargain. An offer is the offer to contract. It's made to justify another person understanding that he has the assent to offer that contract and that contract can be accepted by that other party. And the court went on to further say it's a general rule that in order for an acceptance to be effected, it must comply with the terms of the offer. So you're accepting that offer. Because remember, only the offeree, in this case, Evolution Markets, can accept the offer. And that offer was of the plaintiff here, Mr. Colchins, that he could continue to work there for X salaries under X conditions that were specified in all these emails and in the letters that went back and forth between the parties. And in a July 16th email, it said, I accept the contract. And what happened was, in this case, because of the counteroffers that went back and forth, it was, of course, the investment house that was offering the job for specified terms to Colchins. And Colchins turned around and said, I accept it. Please send the contract under these terms. As a result of that, they said, that is an acceptance of the offer. When you say, I accept it, that's an acceptance. So here they found that there was an offer and an acceptance together, that the Evolution Markets made through a series of correspondence and emails an offer to Mr. Colchins. And they found that through that email, he accepted. And they went on to say, the court went on to say, that the law is clear that although the parties may intend to enter into a contract, if the essential terms are omitted from their agreement, or if some of the terms are too indefinite, remember you have to have definite terms in the offer, then no legally enforceable contract will result. But it is plain, the court said, that all the terms contemplated in the agreement need not be fixed with complete and perfect certainty. That's what the court said. Remember, you can agree later to some of the terms as long as they are ministerial or not a term that can be justified or found out now. And in this case, it was a rather complicated compensation package based on what will happen in markets in future times that is really not ascertainable. Remember, you can turn around and base a contract on something that will happen in a definite period, but not right now. And that was kind of what happened here. The court said all the terms were definite. All the terms were included, except those that couldn't be. And that the fact that there were those certain terms in there doesn't mean it wasn't a contract, because all the terms that could be in the agreement were in it, that you had an offer by the employer, you had an acceptance by the employee. And it says that in this case, it appears that all the terms essential to the agreement were specified in the June 15, 2012 email intended to be the offer, and that the plaintiff emailed back saying, "I accept it." So you have both of those elements. You have an offer with definite terms, and you have an acceptance with definite terms. Now, there's no counteroffer here. He said, "I accept it." He accepted what was there. And as a result of that, there was a contract. The fact that some of the terms could not be ascertained at present, but only in the future, doesn't negate the contract. Now, in this case, they were arguing that not all the terms were spelled out. And in order to have a meeting of the minds, the defendant said, "Hey, look it, we can't specify all the terms. So we can't have a contract." Well, under that circumstance, you could never have a contract. Sometimes the terms cannot be ascertained at present, sometimes only in the future. And if you're going to structure your deal that way, structure your offer that way, you can still have a contract based on what will happen. The law is clear on that. What the law says is you have to have an offer, you have to have an acceptance, and you have to have a meeting of the minds. And here, with genuine assent, they found that to have taken place. That the initial proposed changes appeared to be simple clarifications and modifications that would not indicate a lack of meeting of the minds on the essential terms. That those clarifications were items that would be clarified later, and that the parties agreed to that, knowing that at the later date, they would find out what the market was able to develop as far as this compensation package. They also acknowledged that although without a manifestation of mutual assent, the contract couldn't come into effect, but they found mutual assent. They found that the contract could occur. This is a very interesting case. It's a case whereby the elements of a contract are laid out, that you have to have an offer, you have to have acceptance, you have to have the elements of the contract, you have to have an agreement, which they did here, they have to have definite terms, which they did here, they have to have that genuine assent and competent parties. All of those elements were satisfied. The only question was that offer containing the full contract? And was the acceptance understanding the full contract? And the court said, human beings are what they are. They can't know things in the future. But for all of the things that are known now, and the clear understanding that the future would clarify this, that it was definite, it wasn't a change in terms, that they knew whatever the market would provide for that compensation package was what was going to happen. So the court said this is a contract. And where you have all those elements, where you have a definite term set forth in an offer, where you have a genuine assent between competent parties, you have an agreement. And that agreement is the contract. See you next week.